Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Q1 2011 Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday the 10th of May 2011. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Jordi Molina. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today to the first quarter 2011 results conference. Joining us today in this event, we have Eduardo Sánchez, Chief Financial Officer, Luciano Conde, Chief Operating Officer, and Bertil Lindmark, Chief Scientific Officer. I now hand over to Eduardo for the opening remarks, and at the end of the address, we'll open a Q&A session.
Good morning, everyone. As you can see, basically, the Q1 results are, in our opinion, in line to attain the yearly guidance, and they have been very much in line with our internal expectations. Having said that, it is clear that they are below Q1 last year, but this is primarily driven by what we could describe as an uneven comparison versus the pricing situation that we had, particularly in Spain, in Q1 last year. Q1 2010 was a very strong quarter altogether. At that time, had not been affected primarily by the price referencing that affected particularly one of our key products, Prevencor or atorvastatin, on the one hand, and then also by the price decrease, mandatory price decrease that was also imposed in Spain of 7.5%. So that makes again for a very uneven comparison of Q1 this year versus Q1 last year. If we go through some of the items in the P&L, we see that because of the reason I just described, the net sales are going down by 12%. Because again, most of that effect is price effect more than volume effect, that is also reflected in the gross profit as percentage on sales. That goes down from 63.8% in the first quarter last year to 62.5% this year. Other income also has decreased a bit versus last year as a result of the erosion on the sales of one of our products that is co-promoted, as well as some of the money back that we get from partners related to R&D contributions. Again, that will increase during the year as also our R&D increase. R&D, which is planned for the year to increase in a single digit, has been going down in this first quarter, but this is purely a phasing effect, so that will reverse the trend during the year. And SG&A continues to go down. And we have to remember that this will be the third year in a row that we have been consistently decreasing our SG&A. So it means very substantial effort still being done by the company, and it will continue during 2011 as we anticipated. All that basically affects very significantly the evolution of the EBIT at minus 40%, as well as both the net income and the normalized net income at minus 40% also. Because of the reason I mentioned before about the quarterly phasing, we believe that the situation will normalize as the year progresses, and that the level of performance will be still in line with the guidance that we gave at the beginning of this year. Still looking into the financials, we see that the free cash flow has improved versus first quarter last year, so that is positive news, obviously. At the same time, our level of net debt is almost basically zero. And looking also at some of the developments in the company that also my colleagues will get, we'll go deeper into it in a moment, we see that we have started the year with a strong developments on the corporate development side, with the, first of all, the news flow about the partnership agreement for aclinium bromide in Japan with Kyorin, and then recently also the agreement signed for Spain on roflumilast with Nicomed. Again, positive developments on that side. And then also finally, before I pass the word to Luciano, a reminder, very important, that over the last 9 months we have introduced 4 new products, which are Toctino, Silodix, Combriza, and Sativex. So again, I think we have quite a number of positive things going on for Almirall when it comes to new products and evolution in the pipeline. We are performing financially in line with our internal expectations and the guidance that we provided for the year. And with that, I'll pass the word to Luciano.
Thank you, Eduardo. Good morning to everyone. Let me lead you through the evolution of operations in the first quarter of 2011. In Spain, the sales have declined as expected. I would like you to notice the unevenness of the comparison with first quarter 2010. The sales in the first quarter 2011 are compounding the effect of the 2 central healthcare reforms, price cuts and tax increases, plus the regional initiatives to foster generic uptake. which together have driven the value's evolution towards the minus 14. On the positive side, we launched Sativex after gaining reimbursement in February. And of the other new products, the evolution of Combrisa and Silodex are in line with expectations, while Tesavel FEC are evolving at a staggering 71%, ramping up in the top 10 list and are in its way to become a major product for the company. Prevenco, Reserti and Dabopal are suffering the impact of generalization. Last minute was good news was the agreement with Nicomed for the second brand of Roflumilast in Spain. It has great synergies with our future presence in respiratory and enhances our visibility in a targeted therapeutic area. We expect this introduction in the fourth quarter of 2011. The business in Europe has remained positive, however unable to compensate the Spanish trends. We have had excellent evolution in some of the core countries like Italy, with a plus 14%, France, a plus 4%, and UK. In Germany, the changes in the healthcare tax from 6 to 16% erode our underlying evolution. Austria, driven by Toptino, show impressive growth of 26%, while some other countries like Portugal and Belgium and the Eastern European partner business have declined. In the rest of the world, evolution is overall positive. However, we have a phasing effect since no orders of Avastin were planned for from Japan in the first quarter 2011, and this difference of these orders amounts for more than the economic difference between the quarters in the region. We continue to phase out the low-margin toll manufacturing business during 2011, as shown in the corporation's figures, and we expect it to arrive to the baseline figure by the end of this year. An important positive element for the rest of the year is the approval of Sativex in the second wave of the decentralized procedure. Following the changes in the German law, allowing us to market the product, we expect the introduction in Germany, Denmark and Sweden in the second half of 2011. We are also pleased that we have gained approval for a new product in non-melanoma skin cancer, Actikerall, which we expect to introduce in both Germany and UK before the end of the year, reinforcing our therapeutic area presence and increasing our share in this important indication. At the same time, we continue to roll out some classic derma products from our portfolio, like Solares in Spain, and we are engaged in discussions with several local regulators across Europe for the reimbursability of Toptino. Changing the subject, the concentration of our industrial activities continues as planned. As per today, we believe that our timelines can be reached and that the project should be completed in fourth quarter 2011. And with this, I will pass the word to Bertil.
Thank you, Luciano. Good morning, everyone. I'll give a quick update on our pipeline progress since we reported full year results in February. Following their positive phase 3 completion, we're well on track to deliver two major filings during this year. Actinium bromide monotherapy is expected to be filed in mid-2011 for COPD both in Europe and in the US, as stated earlier. And Enactide, a pan-European first-in-class opportunity for IBS-C, an indication with a high unmet need in which no specific treatments have been approved by the EMA, we are foreseeing to file in Europe in the second half of 2011. Also, we are moving forward as planned with three projects entering phase 3. These include the fixed-dose combination of actinium bromide plus promoterol BID and COPD, and I'd like to point out that this is with final designs of the programs after having consulted with the US and European agencies. And the second phase 3 is the LAS 41007 for non-melanoma skin cancer, and also after approval of Sativex in the indication of MS spasticity, two new phase 3 trials in US and Europe are ongoing for the indication of oncological pain. Then regarding actinium, we will present further actinium data at two major meetings in 2011, in next week at ATS and then at the ERS in September in Amsterdam. As you can see in the ATS slides, we will present six posters on May 15th and four on May 16th. The ATS presentations include additional data on actinium bromide from the phase 3 studies, ATTAIN and ACCORD COPD1. Also, a quick word on LAS-792, our new dual-acting muscarinic antagonist, beta-2 agonist, the MAVA, which combines two bronchodilator mechanisms in a single molecule for the treatment of COPD. This new class of inhaled long-acting bronchodilators is expected to provide additional symptom relief in patients living with COPD and to form the basis of so-called triple combinations together with inhaled corticosteroids. And we are aiming at starting clinical studies during first half of 2012 with this model. Also, as mentioned by Luciano, within our dermatology pipeline, Actikerall is the new combination treatment for actinic keratosis. We believe this is the best currently available therapy for actinic keratosis. It met all the primary and main secondary endpoints in phase 3, and it has been receiving positive recommendations for approval in 7 European countries. So, in summary, we're moving forward as planned, and we're, of course, very focused and excited by our ongoing filing preparations of Actidinium and Linaclotide. And with that, I say thank you, and over to Jordi.
Well, thank you all. Operator, back to you for opening the Q&A session, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from Joe German from Citi. Please ask your question.
Good morning, everyone. It's Joe German here from Citi. A couple of questions, if I may. First of all, for Eduardo, as you said, you know, SG&A is down for the third year on the run. This quarter, looking at it down 1%, which is in line with guidance for the year, but could you talk a little bit about how that might trend throughout the year? Are there still initiatives you have in place where we might expect that sort of decline in SG&A to accelerate, or is this perhaps more representative of where we might be for the year as a whole? And then for Bertil, you know, ATS, the first sort of showing of the new profile of Actidinium. Can you talk a little bit more now about how you're planning to position that product versus both Spiriva, but also versus, you know, potentially MVA sort of 237 as well? You know, is there room for three LAMA monotherapies? And just give us a little bit more color on the positioning there. And I've got a few more, but those will do for now, and I'll go back in the queue.
Yeah. Thanks for your question, Joe. When it comes to the first part of your questions on the SG&A evolution, indeed, we have seen in the first quarter a decline of minus 1.1%. I think that the level of decline should go up during the rest of the year. Basically, the guidance that we gave was for a single-digit decline. It will probably be closer to the mid-single digit than what we are seeing in Q1.
Okay, okay, regarding the Lama Monus, I think we do see very positive results with Actidinium bromide. And of course, we benchmark the level of bronchodilatation versus both the Larvas and Spiriva. So we believe that there is a good opportunity for a BID Lama with the twin peak and the sort of first day, first dose effect that we can see with Actidinium. We will present more about the benefits of Actidinium at ATS and even more at the ERS, especially regarding the nighttime symptoms and the second peak and the bronchodilatation that we can see during the night and the effects we can see in the early morning hours with Actidinium bromide. So we believe that Actidinium, together with the very patient-friendly inhaler Genuair, will be a very good combination and something that will be received positively by patients. And we'll continue to paint the picture of the benefits of this product in a good way.
Are you sort of aiming at, you know, at current sort of Spiriva users in terms of that sort of positioning, or is it more going to be sort of patients new to the LAMA class that you think that the message is clearer for Actidinium?
I think in the beginning, I think we'll aim for new patients for LAMA. And you can see that the LAMA class is really continuing to grow after all these years of Spiriva. And we think that the addition of one option for the physician will be a benefit. And I think many patients and many physicians will also realize that we're virtually lacking systemic side effects. We do not have anticholinergics, and we have a product that is easy to use. So we believe that to begin with, the first-time users, but increasingly I think patients that understand or hear about the product will begin to use also Actidinium bromide.
And are you at, if I can just ask one more follow-up, if you know, are you at a position yet where you feel comfortable giving some sort of benchmark range of the materiality of sort of sales in Europe particularly, which is the Almirall territory?
I wouldn't say anything about benchmark sales. I don't know, Jordi.
Well, basically, we are sticking to the general guidance that the product, the franchise as a full, the monotherapy plus the combination could be a 1 billion in peak sales. Being said this, the European territories in terms of COPD potential can be around 30-35% of that, but you have to bear in mind that this is also pending on the announcement of an agreement with a partner in Europe during 2011.
Of course. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Eleanor Fung from Goldman Sachs. Please ask your question.
Hi, gentlemen. A couple of questions, if I may. Firstly, I was wondering if you could help us think about the evolution of other income through 2011. Secondly, I know Jordi mentioned the potential European partnership for Eclira being announced sometime in 2011. I was wondering if you could give us a little bit more clarity on that. And then finally, I'm just trying to understand the Nicomed deal. If you could comment on how this might contribute to 2012 and 13 sales and EBIT, please. Thanks very much.
Okay, good morning, Eleanor. Let me try to address your questions. I mean, first of all, when it comes to other income, as you know, other income is made out of a bunch of small things. One of them, or the two that have a particular impact, is on the one hand the revenues and the co-promotion agreements, and then another key one is the revenues basically that we get as a result of co-development agreements, particularly the share of the R&D budget that we get from Forest. On the first one, the revenues and the co-promotion agreement, that is affected basically by the erosion in sales of Actonel, and as you know, we have a co-promotion agreement with another company, and it is in this line that we book basically our share of the revenues. Since the Actonel sales are going down, this figure will continue to go down, and it is already planned from ourselves that that will continue. On the other hand, the revenues under co-development agreements, that is also connected to the evolution and the expenditure in R&D. So with R&D being down in the first part, in the first quarter, obviously the revenues and the co-development agreements are also going in that direction. Altogether, as we see R&D going up, and as we get also into the phase three or the first combination of aclinium bromide, this figure should go up altogether. It may be lower at the end of the day when it comes to the whole other income. This figure is anticipated that will be at lower levels than in 2010, but certainly at higher levels, proportionally speaking, than what we are seeing in the first quarter. Now, when it comes to the partnership in Europe for aclinium bromide, all I can say is that we are currently in negotiations with or in discussion with several companies. There are indeed, you know, there's good level of interest on the compound and on partnering in Europe. As we have mentioned in the past, it is one of our priorities to sign an agreement before the end of this year so we can make sure that we can work effectively with a partner towards preparing the launch of the product. So again, that is clearly our goal for 2011 on this particular topic. And then when it comes to Roflumilast in Spain and Nicomed, obviously, as you know, with any new product, you have to invest at the beginning. So even though we plan to launch the product at the end of 2011, certainly will not help on the bottom line in this year. In 2012, it will help at the top line, but the bottom line effect will be relatively neutral. And then definitely in 2013, it should help already in a good way to the P&L.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Kerry Holford from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Good morning. Thank you. A couple of questions, please. Firstly, you touched on it briefly then, but I wonder if you can give a little bit more detail about your plans for the launch of Roflumilast in Spain. Will this be sold by your current reps who are promoting Plusvent? Will it be their new primary detail? Will you be taking on any more reps in the near term? And then secondly, any signs of any further austerity measures on the horizon in Spain in particular, or any other European areas, if you can comment on that? Thank you.
Well, regarding the promotion of Roflumilast, we think that with the current structure that we have in Spain, we will not need any extra or additional resources to the ones that we have already deployed. So I think that this is factoring into the overall strategy of the company. It's very synergistic with our current strategy in respiratory, and we believe that the product will also help us to differentiate in front of the specialist with a new therapeutic category on top of the ones coming from our portfolio in the future. Regarding the austerity measures, you know we are obviously suffering quite a lot from these measures in the sales up to now. We have no hints or any expectation that the central authorities will take any further measures at this stage, or we have not been through our means with pharma industry and other resources, we have not been able to identify anything. I think that nowadays what is happening is more or less higher pressure to move to generics being affected by different authorities at regional level using the means that they have, which is also, let's say, showing our evolution of some of our flagship products. But at this stage, we do not expect significant additional reforms.
Many thanks.
Your next question comes from Jamie Clark from Merrill Lynch. Please ask your question.
Hey, good morning. I've got two questions, please. Firstly, on Ebastine, sales are weak in the first quarter. I think you said that the movement you saw was less than the quarterly variation you expected. Can we expect those sales to rebound in the second quarter? Secondly, on Toctino, you've rolled it out in Austria and Italy in 2010, and in 2011 you're rolling it out to the rest of Europe. Can you just comment on the pricing and reimbursement negotiations you're currently having with health authorities, please? And thirdly, on Sativex, how is that launch progressing? When can we expect that product to contribute significantly to the top line? Thank you.
Okay. Well, the first question. Ebastine. Yeah, okay. So regarding Ebastine sales, as I said in my... Well, sorry, this is Luciano. Regarding Ebastine sales, as I mentioned in my opening speech, the main difference is basically due to the lack of orders in Japan in the first quarter of this year versus previous year. So we expect that Ebastine will remain our main product. We do not expect a very significant variation versus the sales of last year. So we expect that Ebastine will be in line with what we anticipated. There is no reason for us to think at this stage that the product will suffer a significant decline versus last year, and also depending on how the pollinic season evolves during the next few months, it may actually be the opposite, you know, so we could show some positive if the pollinic season helps. Regarding Toctino, we are engaged well, first of all, we launched a product very successfully in Austria, where we are achieving very good results, extraordinary penetration. In Italy, as you probably are aware, product was approved and registered as hospital product, and this means that in Italy you have to go through the regional approval and the hospital approval, which obviously is a long process and normally take around 1 year having effective sales at national level. Regarding the other countries, we are now applying for reimbursement in some of the territories like Belgium, Poland, Slovak, Spain. But under current climate of difficulties, the negotiations are proven to be more difficult than what we anticipated. We are obviously entangled in very serious discussions in order to achieve our aims. That would be to have the product introduced in some of these countries towards the end of this year and the beginning of next year. Sativex. I think that we have the product approved. We managed to have, let's say, the German parliament to approve the product to be dispensed in the German pharmacies. We are obviously looking forward to the final regulatory steps in order to be able to introduce the product. So we are on track to launch Sativex for us in Germany. It's expected to be a significant product.
Thank you, brilliant. Thanks. Just a quick follow-up on Abastine. Is any of the weakness down to potential distribution problems following the earthquake?
This is a very good question. As per today, we are not yet 100% sure of what has been the impact of the distribution on Japan. But you have to remember that I would say 70% of the allergy market in Japan is mostly in the south of the island. So
okay. So potentially not much disruption.
We expect some disruption, but we are not sure how intense it would be.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Peter Walford from Jefferies. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks very much. I have three questions, I think, left. Firstly, I noticed that there's a trial, the LASMD35 trial of aclidinium bromide, which I think is a trial of two different doses of aclidinium administered long-term to try and assess the profile of the drug. I think we've been waiting for results from that for a while. I wonder when we could get results from the MD35 trial. Second question then is just on the 41002. That's been, I think, filed now for some time in Europe. I wonder if you've got some sort of update on how that's progressing with the European regulators. And then just thirdly, on with regards to roflumilast, and should we read anything into the fact that the discussions and the partnership with Nycomed for roflumilast, I guess that there wasn't also perhaps a collaboration with Bracledinium in broader territories, given obviously Nycomed is going to market roflumilast throughout Europe, or whether or not, you know, potentially those sort of discussions could still be ongoing. Thank you.
When it comes to the MD35, the long-term safety study, that is reading out later this year, and sort of the top-line results, or it's going to be, it's finishing its clinical phase in mid this year, and it's going to read out sort of in the fall period. Well, I don't think we'll be able to present anything at the ERS. So it's going to be part of the sort of all the data that we include in the file. When it comes to the, and I think your second question was about one of the derma products, was it 45002?
Yes.
002, yeah.
Pardon?
The question was on
002. And let's see here, we need to look at in the table here.
Let me address perhaps in the meantime the question on roflumilast. Bertie looks into the 002. But basically, I mean, one thing does not go against the other. Obviously, with roflumilast in Spain, there was a particular opportunity that we discussed with Nycomed, and eventually that led to a positive resolution. If you ask, you know, is Nycomed also a partner or a potential company that could qualify as a partner for aclidinium bromide? Well, I mean, Nycomed is a company that is well positioned in Europe, that has a product that we do not see as competitive. To the contrary, could be synergistic with aclidinium bromide. So as such, you know, it could qualify as a potential partner, but again, I will not disclose at this point any more details in terms of the companies that we are engaged into discussions right now. So with that, again, let me pass the question back to Bertil on the 002.
The 002 is the MANOVA, and of course we got approval for the cream and ointment earlier this year. We have still the emulsion ongoing, where we have discussions with the authorities, and we've received the first set of questions, and we believe that we can answer these questions. So it's ongoing, and we believe that we will at least we'll be able to come back with some news during the later part of this year. It's then with the other MANOVA products, we continue with variations on in Europe, and this is now sort of in good sort of approval phase.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key.
Well, okay then, that concludes our event today. Thank you very much for your participation, and have a good day.
Thanks.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.